And it might be a good idea for you to give him a call, he's leaving at 11 o'clock for NATO.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he wasn't gonna go.
Yeah, he's leaving a lot of time. He said he'd considered postponing it, but then he discovered that no Secretary of State has ever missed the NATO meeting, and he just figured he wasn't gonna be the first one.
All right, I'll call.
And,
That's over, I know, because they missed the picture. Military aids.
It's not about, he didn't ask for a call, but he did, he
By 11?
He leaves at 11. But he, yeah, he was just calling to check out and see if there's anything we wanted to call. He talked about the Senate leadership thing yesterday, and the great response he got in Cisco. And the guys went up with him, and also it was one of the most careful meetings he'd ever had. And he said, they're all solidly, we're doing a great job, except for Teddy and Frank. The full
How did Henry get along?
He did a great job.
Yeah.
He hit all the points that we could. Unfortunately, he got a softball thrown over, which he knocked out of the park in terms of, no, in terms of the way your attitude toward the evidence in Pakistan. He referred to your 1967 visit there and how he said he had, matter of fact, he had raised it with you this morning. And you had told him, and then he went through the whole rundown of how well you were treated, and out of office in the 3 days, you met with the Prime Minister and the other official. So he, and the wires are, the White House said today that India launched a full-scale war despite apparent progress in U.S. efforts to get negotiations underway between Pakistan and Bangladesh rebels in East Pakistan. He did a good job of just going through the whole series of events and putting in perspective.
Bill, incidentally, in passing, said, I understand Henry's doing a backgrounder right now to set the record straight on this, and I think that's a very good idea.
States? You're talking about Secretary Wright?
Yeah.
States all on board.
Yeah, he said it's a very good idea, and I think we need to get it set straight, and then we need to get away from it. And we don't know, we shouldn't push it anymore now.
That's right. Well, that's what, as we talked earlier, this is a good bridge point. There's nothing else to say about it. It's all out very well. Your efforts with the Prime Minister.
Bill, it was interesting. That said, was the President disturbed at all on anything I said last night?
No.
And I said, no, not at all. He said, did the President say anything about being disturbed about anything I said last night? And I said, no, not at all.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know. And he said, well, I didn't feel I could get into taking too strong a thing in that group and all. And he said, I build up the thing on massacre and the real problem there, because I thought we might need Canadian help down the line, and I thought I might as well lay the groundwork for it.
That may have been temporary barriers.
So if the West has to get into trouble and plan this up, we may be asking the Canadians to help there. So that was his line on what he was.
Well, I wonder how well you get it anyway. I would say.
But he made a sense that just, because he probably, see, Bill is Dan.
He's a very sensitive man.
He knows, and he knows he didn't do a good job.
He, I talked to him this morning.
And he would know.
I talked to him
without anybody telling him.
Before the,
wasn't that bad.
You know, but he would know that he was just, you know, you know that. I mean, you get time sometimes when you wish you'd said something else or something.
Before the President left the ministry, arrived this morning. I saw him and I said, I thought your remarks were very good.
Sure.
I was kind of wondering about it. And he said, well, he said I was a little bit concerned about it.
He was.
So I think he did.
He says.
He made a point that Henry made a point that he was making, though. The Canadians did not get on our side on this thing.
Well, that's what he said.
Pretty good line for
his trying to do. He was trying to build the whole massacre
thing, yeah.
our mission in this to set the Canadians up.
But he feels that the only people that are against us is Senator Teddy.
Teddy and Church. So the other guys are, Margaret and Fulbright and Simon.
On the Indian night.
Yeah. All saying they're right on.
I mean, they don't.
No criticism. Stay out. No U.S.
stay out.
They're all for the, your line. See, that had gotten around from the leadership meeting in the morning.
Yeah. Well, also, we're doing more than that. We're trying to rejoin the UN, and it's going to get condemning them and telling them to get the hell out. That's
good point too about the 11-2.
Yeah.
Both.
Yeah. He always does a good job. Take what he's saying.
And he made it clear, really the effect of what Henry said today puts, without referring to him, puts Muskie and Kennedy way out, you know, out of reality, because they immediately went into the, you know, the rhetoric.
The rhetoric?
Well, sure, I mean, you know, the fact that this administration was not concerned about the fact that people in East Pakistan were dying, and that we had no compassion, and so forth.
That's the standard.
Well, it's what you would expect, you see, from them.
But how did Henry handle that?
Well, by outlining very clearly the $500 million that we've given from the very outset, the diplomatic contacts that we made going back to June, at your direction, he said. When I went to India in June, I was directed by the president to talk to the prime minister and how various alternatives were put forth to the Indians, and they didn't respond. And the efforts that we had made with that, your direction, with the Pakistani government, and what they had agreed to do, to unilaterally withdraw their forces from the border and to negotiate with the Bangladesh, went through the whole series of
So now, are any non-Jewish entertainers who could ever get at the White House?
No.
None of them very good.
God, I don't know what the hell.
A couple of Italians, Frank Sinatra.
Every time I come up here, it's a Perlman. Foreign and Tel Aviv, it's going to be very good, but there must be some guy that plays the violin that's not Jewish.
They don't sell Stradivarius to anybody who isn't Jewish.
Something has to do with their fingers.
It's Australian and she's Jewish. Right. I mean, it does look as if we're looking at that, but I mean, you know, I don't mind, but I just don't want it to appear that we're Jewish on a certain growth. But you're sure that isn't, that we're not getting pushed a little by...
No, I'm not sure of
that. Done on the other side of the year completely.
Why don't you mention it to Pat?
Yeah.
Seriously.
I guess I will. I don't think she knows.
Well...
I don't think she knows.
No, but I just kind of...
For Christ's sake, just don't have... Understand, just don't overgo over.
Once in a while. Okay.
My God, we had that Beverly Sills, I mean, the one that broke her bosom or something. I don't think she's very good herself, but...
She's not sure who thinks she is.
Well, she is because of her background.
Your ballet teacher?
Huh? No, we only had to do one number.
Yeah, no. You were saying
Beverly Sills is considered, I mean, it's a build-up of basically far beyond her capabilities. I know.
But they really go her up. They really do
sure,
that.
Put her on the cover of Time and all that. And
a very
she's
big,
not that good.
A very big thing.
I'm glad she does well, but she's not that good. I mean, whatever. Christ, I don't like to get Sopranos anyway. Well, I'm glad we got that out of the way.
India looks pretty damn bad after Henry goes through that whole rundown.
Does it?
They look very bad.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll write it that way.
Well,
the snakes don't like India looking that way.
The White House said today that India launched full-scale war despite apparent progress in U.S. efforts to get negotiations underway between Pakistan and the Bangladesh rebels.
They keep trying to make that's good. They keep trying to make it that Pakistan started the war, you know, with the air raids.
Well, they've moved off of that now. That was the first day.
Somebody's still peddling that.
Well, there's a few of them.
I don't think that's very certain that to be serious. I mean, no Pakistan is going to get the shit kicked out next up wars.
Well, that's it.
I agree.
I agree they're saying, but I don't think they can sell it.
I don't see how they can sell it at all.
See you, man.
White.
I'm sorry, get it right here.
No, let's push it.
Just get it ready. We'll say about Manchi.
Well, this may be your last white card in.
What kind of meeting does he have?
really might be.
I hope. For, through the election.
And probably, you know, that, it might very well be the last one of time.
Mr. President, Henry's in a situation around here.
Oh. The best thing. He loves that, the best thing
he had from before.
He gets to sit out at the head of the table.
He is so funny.
Is he?
Because he has it all worked out. You know, he's so goddamn arrogant.
Oh, he is. And then he goes flipping through the, you know, some guy's making a point or really making a point. He goes flipping through the paper.
He ignores it.
Oh, then he has a lot lash.
Yeah, well, he does that in here.
Does it at staff meetings. He's just, I'd love to get a movie of him coming into a staff meeting in the morning. He never comes in on time. He walks in while someone else is talking, always. Sits down and starts talking in a loud voice to whoever he's sitting next to, just paying no attention to the poor guy who's talking. And as soon as that dries up, he starts to go to the face. He's a great clatter.
Right. That's the
real character. Till you call on him and then what he really holds for.
Yeah. Or until someone mentions anything that has to do with foreign policy. Is
yeah.
There?
Probably should.
He's a fascinating guy. Very rare bird.
Well, he feels very badly about this thing because he always has a feeling that something we have done could have avoided it. Nothing we could have done could have avoided this. They're going to fight it. There's no question about it.
Henry knows that.
He says, well, could have been maybe the Russians or maybe we could have gotten this guy and shipped the old woman. It's not doing it. And I told him, and I talked to him. She didn't pay attention. We said all the right things. And he said, that was just right. Hell. Bill is not coming to the dinner tonight.
He's left.
And he's 11. Apparently he called me and said he was leaving 11. He just called. Just a few minutes ago.
Has it been personally gone?
So I assume he's not coming to the dinner. No, you have to share it with me. Because that's part of what his plane needs. There's no problems. Make sure everything's in good shape, going right.
And you know, he's the one that should be, rather than having you up in the degree, he's just gone. Because that's terrible.
Embellishes.
if this is about Ron being disturbed by Roger Stokes. Really wasn't that at all, but quite a different thing, whether or not the use of the word is one thing. Henry read more into the word than was there.
Ron, yeah, Ron, you, in a way you could say Ron was disturbed, but the implication there is totally different than the fact, because he wasn't disturbed in that sense. He was raising the question.
When Henry came in and said to me, he said, Ron said that Rogers had, totally departed from the guidance that I'd given at the meeting at noon. I couldn't believe Ron would tell Henry that without telling me, you know, crazy. So I knew he hadn't said that, but that's exactly what Henry told me.
He made that up. Well, what he did is he went beyond the fact, because what Ron said was that Rogers had diverted from what you had said in the sense of not pulling all of them out of whatever it was. But well, you get the same thing on this thing about Peterson sitting in the stands meeting. I didn't say you have to have Peterson in the meeting.
They didn't want him Secretary of Commerce. They were either the, where did he get that impression?
Because I said that he said, well, I thought we had solved the problem with him by making him Secretary of Commerce. I said, that doesn't solve the problem. He's still concerned about all these other things. He is the Secretary of Commerce yet, and that is, he wasn't sitting there paying for that. That wasn't a big reward for him, which it wasn't. It's a move up for him, but it isn't something. I think if you asked him what his druthers would be, he'd druthers say where he is if he could get it worked out, where he had the kind
he
of...
He has power.
You're right.
Yeah, but he can't have it. He knows about the common situation.
That's right.
It's not changed. So he'll be a dentist with the Secretary of Commerce, and we'll leave a lot of that stuff over there.
You've given him a very nice way out of a difficult situation. I think he recognizes that. I don't think he's leaking out the tweet about it.
So sure. His wife will like the social.
He's obviously good. There's no question about
that social thing. He's got the big car, you know, and all that.
It's been tough for him.
And this is hard. He's used
to here being carrying his own
suitcase. He's used to more money. AIDS, and now he'll have AIDS and a car and an airplane and all that.
Big office and a lot of people.
Big office.
Waiters
will come around.
Coffee.
And he'll still do his, he can still do the that international stuff out of commerce, an awful lot of it, so he's doing very well.
I think he's, I don't think he's unhappy about it, but he didn't come in here with the goal of getting into the cabinet. He liked what he was coming in here for.
Secretary Rogers, please.
It's like a really good
plot for today.
Yeah,
and they thought we were doing the right thing. quite tall, isn't he? Draw, I wish you were running the whole continent. Yeah. Incidentally, the Ergo, I think apparently he helped a bit there. And another thing he did express concern about, which I think we've got to look into the effect, is he says Argentina's in a hell of a mess. And we need to, of course, we need an ambassador there. For one, I don't know if that'll help too much. But second, they need a new president. By all means. And also the idea that you can tell them that I've asked you, if you would, to, if you might get them all aside for a private meeting, if you can, and say that, and particularly smaller countries, that I would have liked to have met with every leader before we left, but we couldn't, but that you have asked you to do it. We want to have, you know, could you give a little of that? And that you want to give them a total, you know, just give them all the stuff that we have, you know, and that we're not making any conditions, and we aren't going to go down the river, and we are talking to our friends, and, you know, that sort of thing. How long will you be there? Friday night, and then we go to what, the Azores? Boy, it's going to be a very interesting trip. Okay. Oh, yeah, you told me to. I'll read it probably one day. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Really? Is that right? Isn't that something? Well, they have numbers as well. Okay. He's in good shape.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, as far as, let me say this, the parents, you know, Rose made a point the other day, you know, she's no great Rogers fan, but she did say, she said, you know, the parents of Bill Rogers said, not only Henry, but his whole staff treat other people very damn badly. And they do, you know what I mean? They treat them with arrogance, let me say that if when I'm having a meeting with a group of people, Henry will look through those papers. I know he does with others.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts, practically. I look at it.
All you got to do is just, yeah.
For the other thing is an idiosyncrasy. But the other thing is that he's kind of realizes it when you read the papers, but Henry is insensitive to other people's feelings, and that's why he's always filled with admiration when he sees any subtlety, because he's not a subtlety.
He comes late to things and doesn't show up.
And if he doesn't know when he's saying something,
yeah,
brutal,
yeah,
or unkind,
yeah,
or so forth, he always, his whole approach to,
yeah, he can whack
his whole approach to people is to, we ought to hit him, we're not being tough enough, we ought to. You know, he thinks
which
we ought
to. Which is Connie's too, but Connie has a superb sensitivity to him. He knows when he's hitting him.
Well, I'm hitting pretty hard too.
Darn right.
Henry doesn't think I hit hard that way.
Oh, no, you do it, but different ways.
But he just doesn't know. He just doesn't realize that there are different ways to screw people. But you don't do it unnecessarily. But Henry is. Some marvelous things. Oh, obnoxious, Teresa, but you.
Yep.
Jesus Christ, if they can be obnoxious.
Unfortunately, they can.
Yeah. So we got a Jewish pianist, Jewish violinist. No, I kid. It'd be very nice to take Garmin. It's really one of the sweetest men. Nice man.
Well, but he doesn't have those traits. He is super sensitive.
Yeah, he's not Jewish.
And he's
basically not Jewish.
Very much the other way.
He's a totally sensitive, decent man. I don't know what happened there.
He's self-effacing.
He's a guy that just turned out. He's turned out different. God, he has to take a lot. Well, I don't know, but your pollster agreed that with your assumption that
well, I didn't
it's not something that the...
Well, he stated that it's his assumption, it was the same thing. He said this thing is good from a political viewpoint for you, for the administration. Because it's not monarch, it's a war, it shows the people that there is the problem of war in the world. That, you know, that we aren't doing it. And he said, well, I guess what he raised it was we were talking about polling questions on the question of cutting the defense budget. He said, this may be very helpful in that regard because it shows that the Soviet and the Soviet's customers are capable of doing things that we don't think people ought to do. And that you got to be prepared for some of this stuff. You can't just sit back and wish everybody else would be nice too.
We don't live in a nice world.
People aren't nice. They're out to get something for themselves. And they're willing to do what they have to do. His point was just that he said this thing from a domestic political viewpoint could be a very helpful
to divert
thing to happen.
Well, divert
to hurt and to make them think. He said, I assume you're going to have to come in with a tough defense budget next year. You're going to need,
we're not going to hold the option of pulling questions on would you be willing to cut the defense budget instead of spending it and the Russian group taxes. The thing that it seems to me that we consider the polls, I'm saying you try to keep them, we still think we ought really, at this point, to be doing better than that. But I don't believe we will.
Just to get a read, so we'll get the results. results of a person here, but he's using that as a test of his poll, as well as to get the readings in Wisconsin, New Hampshire, and Florida. And what we're doing on the way he does the trial needs is pretty good. He doesn't ask him the question right down the answer. He hands them a ballot and asks them to mark it and put it in an envelope. So they have a sealed ballot, which he thinks is a much more valid trial heat. And he's going to do one where he puts amongst Republicans, where he puts, he's going to set up who Ashbrook is and who McCloskey is, and then put them against you. And he says, that'll give them a much stronger rating than they could get because of having set up. But he said, I think it's going to be interesting to see what the parameters are of our of the opposition on the right and the left and get a reading on it.
Well, so we have no illusions. Even if they show 40%, I'm not going to campaign.
Oh, hell no. There's no thought on that.
Well,
and these are figures only we get. We're not giving anybody
else. Well, these, I don't think our trial heats in the various states mean a hell of a lot about until actually basically June.
Well, except one of the things that
I mean in terms of, I mean in terms of Republicans, but I mean in terms of